Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-89, Terrence Babby.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Dyersburg 100, Sussex County, by dividing 13 acres into 13 lots, located southwest of Route 326, 1,369 feet southeast of Route 432. This application was reviewed by the PAC committee on July 26th of this year. That report will be made a part of the record. And on December 18th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. So each of you has been provided a copy of that. They directed the preliminary plan, and both of those will be made a part of the record. I'll have them completely.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening? Why, it's Mr. Gibbs again.
I think we remember you from the last hearing.
You're already in our system now, so you don't have to give us your bar number.
With me tonight, I have Terrence Babby, my client, and Mark Davidson with DC Group and JC Owens with DC Group, who will also be supplementing the presentation. You all have a notebook which was primarily prepared by DC Group, and I just wanted to run through a few things preliminarily. We also have it's oriented both ways. This is the same thing that you have a smaller version of in the very front of the notebook, which shows the basics of this. It's a traditional 13-lot subdivision, single road with a half cul-de-sac and a full cul-de-sac. Site map also. Second map, which you also have a copy of in the section on maps, shows the general location of the property. It's located just to the east of US 113 and just to the west of Bethesda Road. It's outlined in red. As I said, it is 13 acres, and the application is for a 13-lot subdivision, with each lot exceeding the minimum 3/4 acre requirement in the AR1 zone that this is located within. There's also in the front, the project team, the legal owner is William C. and Doris Betts, the second page in your notebook. I've already introduced the engineers who are here this evening, and the equitable title owner, of course, is my property. There is a tab that says deeds. And that in that tab, there is a, it's under deeds. Yes, second item under deeds is the purchase and sale agreement that confirms Mr. Babby's equitable interest in the property and thus the applicant. Mr. David's qualifications are right up front. The overall site map is also right up front. And you may want to refer back to the site data, which is the last page just in front of the application tab, which gives a very good recap. It's the same data that appears on the formal subdivision or the formal preliminary subdivision plat that has been submitted for review tonight. I would note that this application is basically in compliance with the comprehensive plan, both the existing land use and the future land use, in that it is a low density residential application within the AR1 designation. And I won't dwell on the comprehensive plan. I don't think it's mainly what we're here for consideration tonight. We do meet the one lot per acre, it's a three-quarter acre lot requirement is met, and we also meet the 10% open space requirement. You'll see the open space is basically at the located at the entrance of the subdivision in a stormwater pond, and the reason it was located there as opposed to somewhere else, which might have been better from a developer standpoint as far as money, locating a pond around several lots to create waterfront lots, is that the topography of the subdivision does all orient in that direction, so it was in keeping with the existing topography and other site qualifications that it was located there. Mr. Davidson will be covering the itemized 17 considerations that you look at and consider in the preliminary subdivision process. I did want to note also, though, just as far as the notebook was concerned, there are reservations and restrictive covenants which have been drafted to cover the 2,000 square foot for a two-story dwelling, 1,500 square foot requirement for a one-story dwelling. There is a requirement against trailers, mobile home modulars, and houses moved in sections under number 9, and there is the number 19, the last one is the agricultural, property located in an agricultural vicinity requirement that is also part of the code. Just to see what's existing now, you can take a look at the boundary survey, which has got its own tab that just shows a house on the adjacent lot, which is being retained by the seller, and all of the rest is open land currently in agricultural use. This is a residual lot. It is not really a lot in a subdivision, so the requirement that we were just speaking about in the last hearing, the 51%, is not, in my understanding, is not applicable here. The owner of the house, the piece of property to the north end of the subdivision, sold off these various lots along the road, and this piece is thus a residual piece, so we don't need the 51%, but I know my client did write to all 7 property owners, and I think has copies of letters approving from 4 of the 7. I think I'll turn it over at this point to Mr. Davidson to run through the Section 99C, since he's had a lot more to do with that than I have.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mark Davidson, owner of Design Consultants Group. As Mr. Gibbs has stated earlier, my qualifications are made for the record. They are in the booklet. Going through the items in 99-9C, as Mr. Gibbs stated, the stormwater pond has been located at the lowest point on site. The topography for the site at this time is running from the south end of the property down towards the north, and that's where the stormwater pond was placed. This site has no wetlands, and there will be no lots within a floodplain. The review of this property revealed that there were no cultural historical features, and that this site will use some context-sensitive type designed BMPs when designing the stormwater. There is approximately 1.4 acres of open space planned for this development that will be dedicated to the Homeowners Association. The stormwater management pond is included in the passive and active recreation space due to the fact that this feature acts as an attractive landscape element that significantly enhances the park-like setting of the open space and the overall passive recreational experience for its users. Use of native plant species, especially in the vicinity of the stormwater pond, will attract and support native wildlife by providing cover and water. It should also be noted that street trees will also be furnished throughout the site. The benefit of these street trees will play a vital role in air pollution absorption, street traffic calming, and asphalt life cycle extension. The grades for the site, again, will run from the back, do run from the south of the property to the north, so minimum disturbance to the soil makes this ideal. We'll be able to cut the road in and be able to grade the road so that it will drain from the back to the front. The stormwater pond out front will be buffered with a vegetated landscaping buffer. The pond will situate, we are dedicating approximately 5 feet to public right-of-way, along with a 15-foot multimodal path that has to be dedicated along the front. And DLDOT's recommendations is that the pond can't be any closer than 20 feet to the right-of-way line. So in that 20 feet, we will be able to provide some landscaping to keep the pond, to screen it from the existing Bethesda Road. All lots will have individual on-site wells, and all lots will have individual septic systems. In the booklet, there is a the soil feasibility study is in there, and also the approval letter from Denerec approving the soils for this site. All best available technologies and BMPs will be employed as mitigative strategies to reduce any impacts associated with this development. All plans, all stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control plans will be submitted to the Conservation District and to the Sussex County Engineering Department for approval. We will be looking at doing some groundwater recharge. This site, the water tables on this site, especially in the vicinity of the pond, the seasonal high water table is at a depth of 60 inches, so we will be looking at doing a doing some infiltration work out here. A cul-de-sac has been placed approximately halfway up Blue Bluff Court in order to allow a safe turning radius for traffic without having to do a three-point turning within the subdivision. This will also be safe for fire truck and ambulance turning movements within the subdivision. And due to the limited amount of lots, pedestrian movement within the roadways can be achieved without excess vehicular traffic being a concern. The area property values will not be decreased and may be increased by the development of the project and with the covenants and restrictions that will be enforced. The property is adjacent on three sides by residential lots, and along the rear there is a wooded section back there. Lots 7 through 13, we've placed an extra 10-foot to the 20-foot setback, so that it'll be no buildings will be any closer than 30 feet to the rears of the property lines along 7 through 13 to help buffer it from the existing woods. The project will have a positive benefit on the schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues through the property taxes. There was no traffic impact study required for this site. Any additional improvements that would be needed because of this development will be borne by the client of the site. The streets are private. They will be and will meet the requirements, the minimum requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department, and the streets will have street lights located within them. The development will fit in with the residential uses adjacent to this property, and there should be no effect on any area waterways. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
I just noticed in reviewing the restrictive covenants when the mention was made of the stormwater facility, and I know there's been discussion as to whether that will be a wet pond or a dry pond. I think there's still some engineering to be done to determine which is going to work and the storage capacities of both and so forth. But in any event, the restrictive covenant should be amended, and we'll supplement them to include the maintenance and repair and so forth of that stormwater management system, especially if it's you know, if it's going to be a wet pond with a fountain of some sort, that's going to need a provision in the restrictive covenants for continual maintenance. I guess I would request it if any of you have any questions now, we could supplement the application with responses to your questions.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any for you. Mr. Johnson. Well, I heard that about the buffer to protect the trees, but is there any buffer plan between the existing houses up front on Bethesda Road and this development?
At this time, they just meet the minimum county requirement, setback of 20 feet.
Because there weren't any plans for any kind of a forested buffer of trees or?
No, there were.
Okay.
No.
And I noticed in visiting the site that there's an adjoining development. Is that a different developer or same developer? Do you know?
Oh, with?
To your south of this proposed subdivision, there's
Bethesda Manor?
There's another one.
Yes.
Is that a different developer or same?
Actually, the applicant for that property was Mr. Babby. He did do the development for that site. We did the engineering for it. He is not the builder.
Okay.
For that particular subdivision at this time.
Because I noticed that one had a lot of dry dugout areas. I assume that's part of the stormwater management system.
Yes, that design there, the actual high point for this area runs pretty much along this back property line here, and this site drains this way. The type of design that was used for this, we did a biofiltration swale where the road ends here, and we did it in order to help. We had a limited area in which where we could put the stormwater management. So what we did was a biofiltration swale to drain the water towards the end of the cul-de-sac on that subdivision, bring it around to the front where the ultimate stormwater does end up.
So would you envision that stormwater management pond might look similar to the adjoining subdivision?
There was no outlet for the stormwater system for Bethesda Manor. So everything was infiltration on site. Actually, it was designed as a dual pond. One was for infiltration, the other one was for storage while the other pond was infiltrating. We do have access to an off-site to be able to drain this off-site. In your booklets under the deed section, there's an agreement between Mr. Babby and the current owner to provide a 10-foot wide drainage easement. This actual property, everything from this site here drains to a culvert that goes underneath the road here, which is right in front of the owner's property right now. And they are granting, we haven't positioned the easement yet because we are in the process of doing the drainage work and the stormwater work for this property, for this development. And we haven't quite placed the easement on where it's going to go on this property, but there's an existing pipe that goes underneath this road, then there's an existing drainage feature that does work its way down to the section. That is where the site drains to now. What we're going to do is we're going to hold the water in our pond and then release it over the pre-development rate. So we will be doing a controlled outlet.
So long story short, you don't anticipate having all the pond areas like there is on the other project?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton?
No questions.
Mr. Gordy?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
In the exhibit book, there's mention of a nearby leaking underground storage tank. Is that on the applicant's property, or is that?
No, that is not.
Is that by the borrow pit?
I think that that is probably, it is off-site. It says it's 1,500 feet northwest of this property, so.
It may very well be somewhere up in this area, up in here.
But the answer is it's not on the applicant's
property. No, it is not on the applicant's
property. Any discovery or whatever would be a separate issue.
That is correct, yes.
No other questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Scouts?
No questions.
Robertson?
No questions.
I one more forgot.
Mr. Johnson?
And it may very well be in the booklet, and I just didn't come across it yet. There's a septic feasibility study?
Yes, there is, and it's
and that's in the,
yep, in the approval letter from Denrix in the book.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Okay. All right, sir, if you'd be so kind as to take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-89 Terrence Babby? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-89? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us. We invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may just wish to call the office in the morning.